Amen. Amen. Is this my water? Is this the one that Eric drank off of? Because I don't want to. No, just kidding. So hopefully that skit got you to laugh, because that was the point. If you thought it was cheesy, that was the point. It was supposed to be cheesy. It was supposed to be funny. The Bible tells us that laughter does good like a medicine. Come on, somebody. And it is good to laugh. Some of us are too, too serious from time to time. We need to take a good moment to sit back and laugh and enjoy, you know, the moments of life. And so I'm just so appreciative of what they put together. Now, before they put it together, of course, Trey wrote the script. And so I read it, and I was like, man, this is really funny. And then I looked back at him, and I was like, now, is there going to be, like, some redemptive value in this skit, or is it just all be funny? And he's all. And I was like, I guess that's my job, right? He's all. I was like, okay. And so I say that because, you know, awesome skit, funny. But I do want to be sincere with you tonight. I do want to be real with all of you tonight. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you brought your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up there. We find the story of a man who was a king of Judah by the name of Jehoshaphat. Now, if you want to pronounce his name correctly, that would be Jehoshaphat, okay? But I'm not going to do that all service long, okay? So we're just going to call him Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat faced a serious battle. And today I want to talk to you, and I believe God wants to help you learn to fight the battles of life. Today, I hope that you understand that it is impossible to go through life and not face fights, and not have battles, and not go to war, a war of some kind. It's just impossible. In fact, if you really want to be real about it, I mean, let's just be honest. Many times, a fight in a person's life starts before they even exit the womb. There are children, there are babies before they're even born fighting between life and death. Maybe today you say, you know what, I'm perfectly normal. That wasn't my experience. But do you realize today that in order for you to be born, there was a fight that took place? Your mother had to. Fight to push you out of her womb, and you had to fight and to get out of the womb. We call it the gates of life, and to breathe your first breath. I hope you understand that. See, it's impossible to go through life and not have fights. Fights come in all kinds of different shapes and all kinds of different sizes. And fights, there are they really cover the whole of human life. I mean, there are spiritual fights to fight. Come on, somebody. If you've ever been in a spiritual fight, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe today you have faced, or you are facing, a spiritual fight where you are facing sin and you are being tempted. That is a spiritual fight, my friend. Maybe today you are facing a demonic opposition. That is a spiritual fight. There's other areas of our life, right? How about mental fights? Anybody here have a mental fight in their life? I remember when I was going to Bible college, after my first year of Bible college, for some reason, I got into this, I don't even know what you call it. I was just kind of like spinning out for a moment. I'm like, how do I know that God is real? How do I really know? I mean, is this just because I was raised this way? I mean, is this because I've been told these things? Has everything that I've experienced been an emotional experience? Have I just happened to be in the right churches where the music was right? And it's for like a good month. I'm just like, God, what is going on? It was a mental fight. How about an emotional fight? Anybody here ever been in an emotional fight? Maybe today you are battling and you are fighting feelings of discouragement. You know that God has more for you. You know that God has different for you. But it just seems like no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you just can't get to where you feel like what God spoke to you about. Maybe today you're fighting depression. You just can't ever be happy. And every time you get around your friends, you can feel it. You are like, you know, the killjoy of the party. You are not the life of the party. Depression. How about fear? Anybody here faced a battle of fear? I've faced a few of those in my life. Fear just has this ability to cripple you. Emotional battles. How about relational battles? Anybody here ever had a relational battle? And it just seems like you can't get along with your family. You can't get along with your friends. Maybe you're here today and you're married, and husband and wife are fighting for their relationship. I hope that you understand that all of these things are real things. All of these things happen to Christians just like you and just like me. Am I talking to anybody in the place tonight? There are all kinds of battles of all different shapes, all different sides. How about a physical battle? Anybody here ever have a physical battle? I've had a couple bullies over the course of my life. Anybody else ever had a bully? Just because you are a young adult between the ages of 18 and 30 does not mean that you don't have any bullies in life. Maybe today you're facing a physical battle such as you are facing sickness in your body. And the doctor has given you a bad report. The doctor has given a loved one of yours a bad report. That is a physical fight. How about financial crisis? All the young adults in the house said, amen, because your best meal is like top ramen on a Friday night after you just got paid, if you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't quite get the hours that you need to get, things just start to go under. You start getting those notices at your apartment. Pastor Joe, I live at home with my parents. You need it. Never mind. All different kinds of fights. And I felt like what God wanted me to share with you were some encouragements on how to fight these battles. See, battles can be very real. Battles are such as, you know, really their goal, the enemy's goal, is to take you out. I mean, these are not things that we just kind of like, you know, laugh at or take lightly. There are real fights out there. And I want you to know today that these fights are going to come your way. And I think that's really a word of encouragement to know that one day a fight, if it hasn't already, and we know it has, is going to come knocking at your door. That's really an encouragement. You know, Jesus comes along in the book of John and he says, in this life you're going to face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Why does Jesus go out of his way to tell us that we're going to have difficulty and trouble? He goes out of his way to tell us because once we find ourselves in that place of a fight or a battle, we don't think that it's abnormal. We understand that this is a normal process of life. See, the devil would love to alienate you when you get into a fight. See, there's some Christians out there and they find themselves in the middle of a fight and they think to themselves, oh my gosh, I never thought this would happen to me. When my wife and I gave birth to my son, Judah, and he came out and we expected everything to be normal. We went through all the doctor procedures beforehand and all the grams, what do they call them again? All the, you know, where they're looking at your stomach and they're all that kind of stuff and ultrasound, not grams, I forgot. Anyway, ultrasounds. And my son was passing every test with flying colors. And so we expected to have a completely normal pregnancy until he came out and he was rushed off after like 5-10 minutes to another room. And we got word like hours later that he had a serious heart condition. And you can find yourself in these battles and think to yourself, I never thought it would happen to me. But Jesus goes out of his way to tell us that battles are going to come our way so that when we get into these battles, he is able to eliminate the element of surprise. The element of surprise can take you out. If you find yourself in a battle and you are surprised that you find yourself in a battle, that can take you out because you're taken back. You're like, and then you start to come all to all these conclusions that are not true. You know, when my son had the problem, I started to think to myself, you know, oh my gosh, you know, what did I do to deserve this? That's something that could take you out. What did I do? What's going on? God, I never expected to be here. But all of a sudden I remember, hey, we live in a fallen world and battles will come our way. But here's the good news. Whatever the battle you face, I want everybody to know tonight, you can fight the battle and it can be won. It can be fought and it can be won. No matter what battle you face, it can be fought and it can be won through the power of God. And so that's why I love this story here in 2 Chronicles of King Jehoshaphat, because he faced a real battle. In 2 Chronicles, I need to go ahead and turn there myself real quick. Are you all there already? I told you to go there like a long time ago, so you're probably very prepared, and I'm like searching for my Bible, and I forgot where 2 Chronicles was. And yes, I am a pastor, and I still want... No, okay. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1 says, "And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat." Now, you got to learn how to read the Bible. You just can't read over and just go on to the next verse. You got to take some time. You got to think about what's being said. And I like what's being said here because maybe a moment ago when I was naming all the different kinds of fights and battles that we get in, you thought to yourself, oh my gosh, but you don't understand, Pastor Joe. I have a few of those battles going on. A few. I have more than one. I got a compound issue. Anybody here ever had a compound issue? You know, when it comes to a fight, I think many of us think, you know, I could take on a fight. I could, you know, if you've ever been in a physical fight, you think, oh, I could take this dude. I could take this chick. She don't know who she's messing with. But all of a sudden you go to fight and she shows up with her friend too. And you're like, this is getting real, but that's all right. I'm bad. You know it. I'm bad. Shows up with a few more and all of a sudden you feel like running. Does anybody here know what I mean? Has anybody here ever faced a compound issue, had more than one battle at one time? And I like how it says, hey, it wasn't just one people group coming against Jehoshaphat. It was more than one. It was the Moabites and the Ammonites. And I even like how it says, and besides them, some other people too. It kind of has like this feeling of anonymity, like we don't really know who these other people were, but they were out there and they were coming against Jehoshaphat. Anybody ever been in a battle you didn't quite understand? And you didn't know exactly what it was that you were facing. And you thought, if I don't know what I'm facing, I don't even know how to handle it. But don't forget, whatever battle you face, it can be fought and it can be won. And so King Jehoshaphat right here is facing a real battle. And his life is on the line and his people's lives are on the line. Verse number 2 says, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand there is there not power and might, so that no one is able to stand against you? Are you not the God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. That's good news, somebody, tonight. If you are in a place of a battle, if you're in a place of a fight, if you're in a place of affliction, if you cry out to God, God will hear and God will save. Amen. Verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Verse number 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, Jay-Z, whatever you want to call him. Amen. Jahaziel and the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up. I'm sorry, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And so Jehoshaphat is facing a serious battle. And he does some things that I believe, if we'll practice today, God will give us the victory in the battles that we face. Does anybody here want to learn how to fight? Hopefully today you want to learn how to fight, because you don't want to wait till you get into the middle of a battle to try to learn how to fight. I can't get into a fight and be like, time out, guys. Let me go take some karate lessons and I'll be right back. And it ain't going to work. Right? I need to know how to fight before I get into the battle. Hey, you've been called to fight today. Now, can I say this? There are some battles worth fighting and there are others that are not. Amen. You got to find out which battles are worth fighting, and the ones that are not, just stay away from those. Not going to do you any good. Anybody here married, got in a battle with your spouse, and like a few hours later you're like, I'm so stupid. That was so stupid. That was so stupid. Actually, this morning I called my wife, and she was in the car with her coworker, and I was like frustrated because I couldn't find my comb that I use every morning, and I was already prepared to do some fighting. But then she was like, you're on speakerphone, and there's somebody in this car. And I was like, oh, hi, baby. I can't seem to find my brown comb. Would you happen to know where it is? There are fights that are not worth fighting, but then there are fights that are worth fighting. And God's called you to fight those fights, and he's called you to win. But you're going to have to know how to fight. Hey, can I just say this to everybody, too? It's not going to really do us any good to hope in our life that somebody else is going to come along and fight our battles for us. We're going to have to learn how to do some fighting of our own. I didn't say today that somebody can't come along and fight alongside of you. Isn't it good to know that you can have some other Christian brothers and sisters come alongside you and do some praying with you? But don't be mistaken today. You're going to have to do some praying of your own. You're going to have to do some reading of the scripture of your own. You're going to have to do some praising of your own. Trey can't dance for you before the Lord. You're going to have to learn how to do some fighting for yourself. So how to fight today? We're going to learn from King Jehoshaphat. Number one is this. You're going to need to seek the Lord. In verse number 3, let's read it together. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself, watch this, to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. If you find yourself in the middle of a fight, how do you fight? You're going to have to take some time and do it the old-fashioned way and get down on your knees and seek the Lord. And ask God, God, what is it that you would have me to do about this situation? How many of you realize today that God is a God of strategy? God is not, just sitting up there and he doesn't know what's going on and doesn't know how to help you. No. God is a God of strategy, and he knows how to position you and get you into the place where you win the victory every time. Actually, King Jehoshaphat's story begins in chapter 17, and I found myself, as I was reading over the story, making sure I had all the facts right, I found myself laughing out loud. Anybody here laugh out loud in reading scripture? If you do, that's good. That's why God wrote it. God wrote it to bless you. God wrote it to make you laugh. God wrote it to make you cry. God wrote it to just take care of the whole human life. In fact, I was just telling the youth this last weekend. I was like, listen, if you like drama, if you like action, if you like sex, just read the Bible. Thank you for that one amen, because that was a good place to say amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I said, before you pick up that book, 50 Shades of Grey, how about you break open the Bible and let the Bible talk to you about what sex is all about before you get some perverted idea of what it's about. It was actually kind of funny because I actually stuttered when I said, and I said, you don't need to pick up that book called 50 Shades of Gay. I mean, and they all laughed. And then I said, you don't need to pick up that book either, if it ever comes out. Before you pop on another show of Once Upon a Time, how about we open up the Bible and look at the stories that God has written in the Bible, because they're going to bless our lives and lead us in victory. Come on, somebody. And so in chapter 17, we find Jehoshaphat. And if you got to understand a little bit about Israel's history. After King Solomon, okay, the nation of Israel was split in two. And you had one group called Israel and another group called Judah. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Okay, and for the most part, looking throughout history, Judah had more righteous kings than Israel did. Well, it just so happened that Jehoshaphat was a righteous, was an awesome man of God. On the other hand, King Ahab was not a righteous, awesome man of God. And so King Ahab gets into trouble, and he calls for Jehoshaphat, and he says, Jehoshaphat, will you come over here and will you help us fight this battle? So Jehoshaphat says, you know what, we're both from the nation of Israel, so I suppose I will. But first, before we do anything, we need to seek the Lord. King Ahab, being wicked, okay, is like, oh yeah, not a problem. And so he had these prophets set up to tell him whatever he wanted to hear. And so he brings these prophets out, and he's like, what does the Lord say about our battle coming up? Are we going to be successful? What do you think? And so they go ahead and they give a good report. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be successful. You're going to win a great victory. Just telling him what he wanted to hear. And Jehoshaphat was a wise man and caught on. I was like, yeah, now, is there anybody here in this land who can hear from the voice of the Lord to give us the okay or not? And so Ahab kind of, he's like, all right. Actually, there is one guy. prophet Micaiah, and but I don't really like prophet Micaiah, and because he never has anything good to say about me, and every time he brings me a word from the Lord, it's always bad. It's always bad news. So I mean, I guess we could bring him out here. And Jehoshaphat was like, absolutely, because we need to seek the Lord. So he calls for. So he sends a messenger, and messenger goes to the prophet Micaiah's house, and he's like, hey, we need you to come, and we need you to bring us a word from God. And by the way, King Ahab wants a good word. Micaiah was like, you know what? I'm going to say what God would have me to say. So he shows up, and King Ahab is like, all right, what's the word that you have for me? It's a good one, right? I'm paraphrasing. And Micaiah knows, like, it doesn't matter what God's saying, this king is not going to listen. So he says, you know what? Yeah, it's a good one. God's going to bless you. It's going to be so amazing. You're going to go out to battle. You're going to win this great victory, and it's just going to be amazing. So go ahead and go. Jehoshaphat, once again, was wise. Was like, okay, time out, y'all, because this is getting crazy. What is God really saying? Micaiah finally speaks up, and he says, you know what? The truth of the matter is, if you go out to battle, you're going to go out to battle King Ahab, and you're going to die, and you're going to suffer great loss. Jehoshaphat, your life will be spared, but you're going to die. Guess what King Ahab's response was? Now, if it was you or me, and you got, you know, you got some mighty man of God come along and say, hey, listen, if you go and do such and such, you're going to die. Wouldn't you and I be like taking it back, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. God, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to go there. God, please, wouldn't that be our approach, right? You know what his response was? See, I told you he's going to bring me a bad word. I don't like this guy. I was laughing out loud. I could not handle myself. I was cracking up on my table. That is so hilarious. So, of course, he doesn't listen. He goes out to battle. And what do you think happens? Well, King Ahab dies. Jehoshaphat is spared. Okay? But the point I want to make is this, is that from chapter 17 to chapter 20, we find the story of Jehoshaphat, and all throughout these chapters, we find him seeking the Lord before doing anything. He always sought God. Actually, if you go back to chapter 16, you'll find that his dad was a good king, but never sought God. In fact, he got real sick. His dad got real sick at the end of his life. And the Bible says that he spent all his money and all his time seeing doctors, but refused to seek God. So he died of his sickness. Hey, how many of you know today God has given us doctors, and doctors are a blessing? Come on, somebody. And if you're sick, you need to go see the doctor. But don't forget to seek God while you're at it. Amen. And so all throughout the course of his life, he's seeking God. And he's getting direction for his life. And when you find yourself in the middle of a battle, you need to seek God. You need to ask God, what is it that you would have me to do? How is it that you would have me to approach the situation? And God will give you the strategy. God will tell you how. God will tell you what to think. God will tell you what to say. God will tell you what to do. And as you follow God's scheme, as you follow God's plan, he's going to lead you in victory. You're going to walk in the victory. But if you and I are just going to go about solving our problems in our own wisdom and our own strength, because I got an education and I got a master's or a PhD in front of my name, so I know what to do, guess what? We're going to find ourselves just like Ahab, defeated. We got to ask God, God, how is it that you would have me to face this situation? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Hello, somebody. I remember this one time I was on the soccer team, and I know I'm going really long, but I don't care anymore. No, just kidding. No, actually, I do. But I got up here late, so I'm going to try to do this real fast. I was on the soccer team. Thank you. And we were playing this team called from Mission Viejo. And this is actually the second time we played them. First time we played them, they blew us out. I mean, we made it all, you know, it was AYSO All-Stars, and we had made it to the playoff round of this tournament, and we were just doing so well, and we just thought, hey, we can go all the way. And we show up and play against Mission Viejo, blow us out like 3-4-0, I don't know, something crazy. In San Diego. And so this team left a mark, like, hey, if we ever meet up with that team again, it's going to be bad. Anybody here play sports and you just met up with the team, it just seemed like they just had you on every little, you know, every little thing you tried. They just knew what you were going to do before you were going to do it. They just were there to stop you and there to score on you and there to break you down, okay? And so that was this team. Well, that was in San Diego. We actually went to a Mission Viejo tournament, and guess who showed up? Mission Viejo. And so we get on the field, and our coach, Coach Adami, Antonio remembers David Adami, and just a great coach. And so he was really like, come on, you guys can do this. You can do this. And he was giving us game strategy. And so we're out there on the field, and I don't remember if it was the tying goal or the go-ahead goal, but we were fouled in the middle of, literally almost in the middle of the field. And my friend Steven, he was a left-footed kicker, and the brother could kick the ball like, you know, nobody at our age could. I was like maybe 16, 17 years old, and brother, he could just boot it. I mean, just like I tried so hard to kick. I couldn't even kick like half of the length he could kick it, right? And so I'm sitting there, and he's getting the free kick set up. If you've ever watched soccer, he's setting up the free kick. And I happened to look up and notice that the goalie was cheating his line. See, as a goalkeeper, you want to hold that line as much as you can. And you have to know the timing, when to come out to stop the ball or when to stay on that line. And so he was cheating his line. He was coming up here, and he was giving some direction. And so I looked at Steven, and I was like, hey, you think you can kick it that far? Look at the goalie. He's cheating his line. And he looked at me. He was like, I don't know. I don't know if I could kick that far. I don't know what he was planning on doing. I think he was planning on probably, you know, doing a nice little lob. Hopefully somebody could try to head it in or get it and shoot and score. I said, dude, just shoot it. And so he scoots back, and he didn't even look at me. And he winds up, boom! And we watch this ball right over the goalie's head hit the bottom of the crossbar and went in the goal. And we're just like, ah! And like we ran and we jumped, and I've never been so close to a man before in my life. But under any other circumstances, it would have been weird. We were like cheek and cheek, just all of the ground rolling on the ground, screaming because we scored, and we ended up winning the game. How many know today that God sees when the enemy is cheating his line? God sees all the weak points. God sees all the holes. God knows exactly how to take care of your problem. And so we need to go to God and get the scheme, get the direction that he has for our life. Number two, you're going to fight the battles that God's called you to fight. You have to seek the Lord, number one. Number two, you're going to have to remember that you're in God's family. You've got to remember that you're in God's family and that you belong to him. You do not belong to the fight that you're fighting. You do not belong to the battle that you are waging. You do not belong to the enemy that you're facing. You belong to God. And because you belong to God, that means this, that God has the final say in your life and in your situation. I hope today you're not praising me or clapping because of me. I hope today, because you're getting something and you want to give God some glory. Hey, God, you have the final say in my life. What has God said about you? What has God said about your situation? Break open your Bible and find out, because what God has said, that has final say. See, you belong to him. You don't belong to anything else. What has God said? God has said that you're more than a conqueror. God has said that you are loved of him. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. God has said that he'll provide for all of your needs according to his riches and glory. God has said that by his stripes, you are healed. Come on, somebody. God has said something about every issue, every arena of the human life. And God's word has final say. And so you're going to have to remember that you're in God's family. Look at verses number 5-7. It says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Watch what he says next. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? See, he was recounting to himself, hey, I'm part of the family of God. I come from the lineage of these great men and great women of God. I'm part of his family. So God's promises, what God has said, belongs to me. And as he's praying, he's gaining encouragement. As he's praying, he's gaining strength to fight the battle that is ahead. So you've got to remember that you're a child of God. My daughter Maddie, we were just celebrating Antonio's birthday not too long ago. And my daughter Maddie, and we were at Mountain Grove, and we had gone to The Habit, and so there's like food sprawled out everywhere, and we got people everywhere, and my daughter comes up to me, and she goes, she goes, hey, Daddy. I'm like, yeah, Manny. She's like, is this your drink? I'm like, I wonder where this is going to go. Is this my drink? What kind of question is that? And so I said, yes, honey, that's my drink. So she picks it up, and she starts drinking it. I'm like, interesting. I think my daughter knows something that we fail to realize when it comes to our relationship with God. If it belongs to God, it belongs to us. She didn't ask me, Daddy, can I have some? She said, Daddy, is this yours? And when I said yes, she's like, I'm gonna take that. So come on, somebody, you need to break open the Bible. You need to say, I'm gonna take that in Jesus' name. I'm gonna take that. Because you're part of the family. You're part of the family. Number three today, you're going to have to rehearse God's faithfulness from the past. Look at what he says again in verse number 7. He says, are you not the God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? He's remembering when Israel was delivered from Egypt and when Israel came into the promised land and how God began to drive out all the people of the land, the giants. The giants. There were giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, they said. And God began to drive them out. And he's remembering the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. You know, when you get in the middle of a battle, you need to take some time out to remember God's faithfulness from the past. You're going to have to remember the victories that he won for you. And when you remember the victories that he won for you, you're going to remember a couple of things. You're going to remember just how great God is. And then you're going to remember, you know what? God didn't give me, the same God who delivered me from that is the same God who's going to deliver me from this. Because you see, he didn't deliver from me that so I could come over here and I could fail right here. God hasn't brought me this far to leave me now. He hasn't brought me this far to leave me now. And so as you begin to look at the past and what God has done in the past, you receive strength for the fight today. If you look at the life of King David, King David went to fight Goliath. You all know the story. It's kind of funny because King David as a teenager had to, you know, convince the king, King Saul, that he was, you know, well and able to go fight this giant, knowing that whoever lost the battle, well, that nation would serve the other. And so Saul's like, you can't go fight this dude. This dude's a giant. This dude's like, you know, this dude's been a warrior since his youth, and you're barely a youth. You know what David's response was? King, see, there's something that you don't know about me. Because I was on the hills of Judea, and I was watching over my father's sheep. And one day, a lion and a bear both came out to take a sheep. And they got a hold of the sheep, and I charged the lion. Anybody here feel like charging a lion? If I was the shepherd, I'd be like, take it! Please, take it and go! Right? And the Bible says that he charged the lion, grabbed it by its beard, and struck it. And then it turned on him. And then he said, he grabbed it by its beard again, struck it, and killed it. And then David said, King Saul, the same God who delivered me from the hand of the bear and the hand of the lion is the same God who's going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. This uncircumcised Philistine ain't going to be nothing for Jesus. He was remembering the victories from the past and receiving encouragement and receiving strength and understanding that God hadn't brought him that far to leave him. Then Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Finally today, if you're going to fight the battles of life, you're going to have to lift up your voice and praise the Lord. Can we go to verse number 20 now? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 20. It says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. They went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Hey, your fights are going to take faith. Verse number 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and who came against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, it says they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were, get this, 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. So what happens? Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Jehoshaphat encouraged himself, and he gets word from God. Hey, you can go out against them because you know what? The battle is not yours, but the battle is mine. And so Jehoshaphat, being a wise man, said, amen, thank you, Jesus. And you know what he did? He got his praisers. He's got his praise and worship team. Like, they're going to go out and fight, y'all. This is like sword and shield, okay? This is like ugly battling here. This is like spears and arrows and all kinds of stuff. Trampled by horses. I mean, we're talking about, and he went ahead and put the praise team out in front. And the praise team, just like you saw in the skit, went out in front and began to praise the beauty of holiness. And began to praise the Lord and began to declare, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to praise, the Bible says that ambushes were set among these people so that they turned on one another and killed each other. That was those guys right over here fighting each other. Ah, like that. That's what they were doing when they began to praise. Hey, listen, tonight, somebody's victory has been long held back. God has promised you, and you have prayed, and you have sought the Lord, and you have done what it is that you know how to do. Now it's time for you to praise. Now it's time for you to, actually, if you look at it with me real quick, it says in verse number 19 at the end, it says, when they received the word of the Lord, these people, the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord of God of Israel. It says here, with voices loud and high. With voice, does anybody here know how to lift up their voice and give God some praise? You're going to have to begin to lift up your voice and be loud and clap your hands and do a little dance and raise your hands and give God some praise. Because as you begin to praise, all of a sudden you open up the door for God to go to work and your enemies start to fall left and right. Your enemies start to fall, chains start to fall, chains start to break, and you begin to win your victory in life as you praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15 says, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What is praise as we close? Praise is this. Today, if you feel like you don't know how to sing, now I love to sing, all right? Just because you don't know how to sing doesn't mean that you shouldn't. God's not listening to your vocal ability while you're worshiping and praising. God is listening to your heart. But praise is simply this, in essence, it's giving thanks to God. Does anybody here know how to say thank you? God, thank you. God, what are you thankful for today? Anybody? Being alive. My health. God, thank you for my health. God, thank you that I'm alive, that I was able to wake up this morning and take another breath. God, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for rescuing me. God, thank you that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. God, thank you for your promises. God, thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. God, thank you. God, thank you. We could go on forever thanking God, can't we? And as you begin to thank God, what you're doing is you're praising. You're praising. You know, you find this principle in the New Testament, Paul and Silas. The Bible says that they were chained up, put in prison, back split open by whips. It says, and at midnight, Acts chapter 16, and at midnight, it says, Paul and Silas prayed. They sought the Lord and sang praises unto God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Anybody here need an earthquake up in their life? Amen. It's going to happen when you pray and when you praise. You know, I believe that it was midnight that day, but I also believe that's symbolic of your darkest hour. When it's your darkest hour, when you're in your darkest hour, it's time to praise God. You may not feel like it, but when you're in your darkest hour, it's time to praise God. Hebrews says, come on, let us continually offer up the sacrifices of praise. And as you begin to praise, the earthquake of God comes into your life and begins to break chains and set you free. If you don't know what else to say, I suggest you say what they said in verse number 21. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Can we say that together? Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When you go into work and that boss, he's been giving you trouble, you got to fight on your hands. You go ahead and walk into that building saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Your next doctor's appointment, you need to go into that doctor's office saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And after they give you a second or third or fifth or tenth bad report, you need to leave that doctor's office saying, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. When you get in another fight with your spouse, you need to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. If you lose your job, I mean, no matter where you find yourself, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. This is what I want to do. We went way too long tonight, and I apologize.